contend for a place, a culture of purity in this company of believers, that our absolute trust and faith and hope would be in such a place of childlikeness that we just come to Yahweh and we're just like, Papa, I am safe with you. I am loved by you. I am in your arms. I'm in your care. And I just put the entirety of my life in that. And I want us to contend for that place of purity, for not only for our lives, but for the lives of our kids. I'm excited about what God's doing in my life, but I'm even more excited about the generations behind me. And that's not kicking the can down the road. That is not kicking the can down the road. But I'm just so super pumped about this huge influx that we have. We're a small little body of believers, and we've got so many kids. We got a lot of pregnant ladies in the house right now too, and I'm contending for them. I'm contending for all of that. So, let's be diligent about it. All right, let's be diligent about it. Let's be in spiritual shape for it. It's a great honor for us to have my nephew Grant and his lovely wife Heather with us today. She's a wonderful addition to the family. We got two additions to the family this year with Heather joining the family, and then Ashton is pregnant, and so we're excited about that, and that's wonderful, and just super pumped about the new lives that God's joining into us, and so we celebrate that today. But Grant has had a heart for the kingdom for years and years and years and years. And I applaud Grant for staying the course. I applaud Grant for having a heart that's committed, and so we want to honor him, and we want to bless him. I know a lot of y'all support him financially. You support him with your prayers. This house supports him financially. He's one of the missionaries that we help undergird. There's many missionaries that we help undergird, but Grant spent several years in this house when he was in college. And part of his DNA is the DNA that God's released through this house into his life. And so we appreciate that, recognize that, honor that, excited about what God's doing and what he's going to do in him. So, I'm just going to turn it over. And Grant, just come on up. And you just the other night we were together and he asked me, he says, man, what's I do appreciate this. He said, what's God been saying at Victory? What's the flow at Victory and all of that? And so I'll kind of know how to, you know, to flow in the vein. And I said, you just release what's in your heart, what God's doing in your heart. And so we'll just turn this over to him and let him roll with it. God bless you, brother.
First off, I'll move this podium over here. Y'all know my background is more of a school teacher, so I'm not used to having a pulpit to stand behind. For me, I just want to be out amongst the people. Feels like family in the house, doesn't it? It's good to be home in many senses. I'll be here until January 8th. My wife and I are headed to Dubai then, a nice location over there in the Middle East, big city that's very multicultural. It's amazing. Opportunity that we have. I'll be continuing the work that I've been doing while she's going to look for a job teaching, so she'll impact through that avenue. But it's been wonderful to have been connected by this house. I don't know if it's been explicitly mentioned. Sydney's my uncle, and I went here for about 5 years from 2008-ish through 2013, and then you guys kind of sent me out to, I guess you would say, Atlanta, which is its own kind of mission field. Anybody that's been there, come on. And then also, then recently in ministry in the Middle East. So, we can go ahead and put that up, if you don't mind. I'll go ahead and pray us in. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence that's among us. Thank you for family and for life in you. Thank you that you accepted us when no one else would. Thank you for inviting us into the wonderful betrothal as we await marrying you, as we walk with you. Holy Spirit, be comfortable in our midst. Lead me away from anything that would grieve you, Holy Spirit, and I pray that the words would be both edifying and challenging today. I think that it really just set a fire in my heart when I was talking with Sydney the other night, and he was explaining to me that, you can go to the next slide, you're talking about a faith that explores during this recent season, and I thought that is exactly what we've been doing. I kind of see, maybe if you could look at it this way, I see all of the Christian life as a journey from the known into the unknown. It starts out from our very first step in Christ when we get saved, and it's that step of faith saying, okay, we're dying to ourselves. Is Jesus really going to catch us and raise us back to life? Is this trusting in Him going to result in all the promises that He said? And I think it's even compounded by the fact that this house itself is in many ways a family of outsiders. You see, this isn't made up of the blue bloods and the elites. I'm not looking at a congregation of the folks that came to Jesus because they had everything together. To the contrary, we are the ones that were dejected and rejected, the tattered, the tatted up, the ones that flunked out and struck out. I'm talking to the ones today, I feel like, that were turned off by religion, turned out of the church, and then turned left on that path where the fork was. And we went on to the road not taken into the wilderness. And in that wilderness, we met something that was more wonderful than anything we'd ever tasted. That was intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on. We are already people that are acquainted with the unknown. Okay? I believe God's inviting us to take even a further step outside the box, outside of what we thought was possible, outside of the four walls of this church, into Honduras and beyond. And this church helped form me spiritually, helped send me in prayer support, helped fund me financially. And now I want to tell about the legacy that you guys are currently impacting in the Middle East and what the Lord has been using me to do over there. How He has put me on a journey of a faith that explores, and how in many ways, through your connection with me, your faith is continuing to explore in areas that you guys have never even dreamed of. So let me tell you a little bit about that. We're going to a very unreached nation this coming spring. You can go to the next slide. Now, this one, as you saw on the map, is a little bit east of the one that I'm in currently in the Middle East. This one is over 98% Muslim and maybe 1.6% Christian, something like that. So we are talking about the hardest and darkest places. But before we talk about it, I want to challenge you real quick. When you look at these brown faces, do you see friend or foe? Are you feeling fear or camaraderie? What you should really feel is connection, because these people are also the outcasts. These are also the ones that are being held captive in their sins, that are lost, and really need Jesus to come in and redeem them the way that He's redeemed us. These people also feel the pain of being turned off and rejected by religion, and they're looking for something more than just rote religion that commands them to bow down five times a day to some God that has never and will never enter the earth. Do y'all know that that's what they believe? And yet our God, as we celebrate this Advent season, didn't just come down, come on, but He actually entered a human form, plopped down in a feeding trough, felt the dust and the straw and the animal slobber. And from that, showed us the way that leads to life. And in following Jesus, we're always stepping from the known into the unknown. Yeah. This past spring in this nation, went with a coordinating indigenous pastor. I told you guys a little bit about him last time I spoke. I'll call him Asa to protect his identity. The guy is a fireball, let me tell you. I mean, this man, he could get you enthusiastic about anything that he's doing. I mean, he could sell ice to a penguin, that kind of gifting, you know. He runs all around his country from the north to the south, and he's gathering Christians together, and he's sharing with them the good news, and he's sharing the good news even with the lost. I mean, for goodness sakes, he tells me that he's baptized members of Al-Qaeda. This guy has worked in areas where he's been put in prison before, and now, since he speaks a language, he was raised in a certain language called Pashtun that people group is not just 98% unreached. We're talking about 0.01% Christian, maybe. So he's going amongst them, and he's working amongst house churches, and he's giving out tiny little cards, SD cards, about as big as your fingernail, but they can contain the entire gospel on them in audio. And over the past few years, thanks to your support with me and the generous support of others, I've given toward him and helped catalyze these efforts to get the good news in audio in this tribal language called Pashtun so that people that are illiterate can hear the gospel. Are you excited yet? Okay, so we went and we actually did a training event for some Christian leaders over there. Now, it's not just a solo thing, and our organization is not the only one out there. We do this with friends and in partnership. We got to link arms with other denominations and fellowships. So there's another guy out there who is training them and meeting with these church leaders and laymen, and they're talking about church planting, they're talking about baptism, they're talking about fundamentals of what it means to be saved. Then my team leader and I went this last spring in March, and we told them about what does the inner Christian life look like. And we told these people that prayer is more than just getting down on your knees and asking God for it to rain tomorrow for the crops, that your friend can get a job, and that your kids will be safe on the road. Prayer is more than just that. I'm not saying that's not good. Go ahead and pray for that, and thank God that my mom's prayed for me for protection during my travels. But it's about relationship with God. Prayer is a two-way conversation, guys. And for many of these people that don't have access to sound biblical doctrine the way we do here in the West, I mean, for goodness sakes, it's a all-you-can-eat buffet of Christian resources on the internet, on television, on the radio. Over there, it is barely scraping by. So for them to hear, for the first time ever, that God had feelings of tenderness toward them, right? That desired them to be with Him, to turn their attention toward Him, right? I saw it so vividly. You can go to the next slide. I saw many of these individuals so touched by the Holy Spirit that they were on the floor crying rivers. They were on the mat that was set out, verbalizing repentance. One minister said it like this. Now this guy's, you know, a believer in this hardened nation, so he knows his stuff. Listen, he's got faith in ways that I could barely hold a candle to. And yet he says, I've been doing ministry all wrong. I'm not kidding. The Holy Spirit touched me. He says, I've been so busy, I've neglected my personal time with God. Does that speak to anyone in here? There were others that were saying, listen, we're going to go back to our communities and we're going to start family prayer again, okay? Another group of women, these powerful intercessors, I mean, they are the heavy hitters when it comes to the place where they said, we're going to start praying and fasting for the nation Pakistan on Fridays. Another one said, listen, on the university campuses, we can go out and they can outlaw us sharing the gospel with other people, but they can't outlaw us from praying. And we're going to mobilize prayer on that campus. So it was powerful results, and it was something that showed me God's working here, and I want to join Him where He's working. I want to join God where He's working, even though it's unknown, even though it's a little dangerous, not as dangerous as you think, but a little dangerous, even though it's inconvenient. We're going to go this coming spring, and this time, instead of just doing one conference, we're going to do two. You guys can go to the next slide. So, in this one, listen, my heart was falling in love with some of the new people that I met this past time. Listen, this is a group right here from a rural region in this nation, in the southern part, that I think you guys could relate to. You see, they're not city folk there. They come in from the village, dressing completely traditionally, not westernized at all. And Christianity is just beginning to take root there. Let me tell you about this. So one of the individuals that's on the screen there, the one that is two over from me on the left, said, my wife and I are the only ones saved in our entire family. So because of the other coordinating minister that we do some with, he taught them about church planting. So they go back, and from what I hear, there's actually been two churches planted, and that was several months ago, so it might have grown since then. They cast a demon out of someone's brother. I mean, it sounds like it's popping over there. In this area that is so isolated, they didn't even succumb to Islam. You know? How far will you go into the unknown? And I'm excited about getting to go to these people and to encourage and invest in them, that we can see prayer movements sparked and started within this hardest and darkest nation. Because did I mention why prayer is so powerful? Have I talked about that yet? Listen, like, this is the 21st century. You know that no one can win a war without air superiority. And you cannot do a thing out there in the unreached world on the 1040 window unless you have prayer superiority. Unless you address the fortresses in the heavenly places. Unless you know how to have a consistent lifestyle of getting in that secret place with Jesus. Fellowshipping with Him. And from the place of being seated in intimacy with Him. Then decreeing and declaring spiritual change in the atmosphere. You can go to the next one there. So that's what I'm going to do in two different locations this coming spring. Now, I love this image because it is so beautiful. One of our coordinating friends there, another American that's doing some work over there with our indigenous coordinating pastor, held a conference a few weeks before we went this spring. And during that time, he preached to some of those rural guys, the country bumpkins, right? He preached to them about baptism. One of them said, well, I've never been baptized before. I've got to get baptized right now. Right? So then they say, it's wintertime. There's not any water anywhere. It's all frozen. So then someone pipes up and says, well, snow is technically water, isn't it? So they go outside. The guy plops down in the snow, got his arms out like this. And if you could hear the video, people are shouting, hallelujah, 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 because that translates into every language. Hallelujah, as they're heaping snow on him, identifying with the Lord in his death through believers' baptism. So this is the dynamism with which God is working, and we're merely going to join with Him, going into the unknown, past the boundaries, outside the box, and establishing His kingdom in places that for thousands of years have not had a believing community of His kingdom. You can go to the next one. Amen. So, share with you a couple of current needs. First off, a vehicle for our coordinating pastor that there. Now, of course, we got to go ahead and pay for our two conferences that we're doing first, but ideally, we would like for him to be able to drive freely within his country. He currently does not have one, and we're seeking for him to do that a lot for safety reasons. Recently, he had a driver that was from another religion. During a break, that driver's taking his prayer time, and he leaves the car. They both come back to the car, and then snapped inside the windshield wiper was a note that was a threat, and it said, "If you keep on preaching this message, know that we will get you." Now, that's not an exact translation, but he said they basically said, "You're going to be fine if you quit doing what you're doing." Okay, so it is a place that I want to be honest. You know, I am no kind of Christian Rambo by any means. I am not epic. I am not a hero. I am not the one most put in danger. It's the locals that are most put in danger. Since I am a Westerner, I still appreciate your prayers, but even more so, being praying for those locals that are there, for the Lord to establish and expand His kingdom. Now, another couple of things that we are praying for is specifically that the Lord is going to send a smart local businessman with an entrepreneurial spirit. Come on, Uncle Sidney, you get fired up about entrepreneurship, don't you? Believing. So business interests are a great way to access that country, and the business visa is the way in which we were able to get in this last time. So we need to pray that there will be sort of a deputy, like a man that will step forward of integrity that can help run some kind of sustainable business there. Perhaps micro loans with some of the farmers there, you know, them buying and selling goats and things like that. Because again, like I said, we're talking about, you know, a foreign country here. This is how they do things over there. In addition, also, anything that you give can also be put toward SD cards, these tiny little memory chips, slip in a cell phone discreetly, and it can have on it the gospel message. Did I mention that project that through my relationship with Asa, we helped start? He has now coordinated and gotten in audio, in this language, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He's gotten the book of Acts. If I'm not mistaken, he's got Romans, and I think he's just finishing 1 Corinthians now. So this is a tool that when the people receive it, it's in quality audio. It's produced well with, like, ethnic instruments. So even unbelievers can listen to it and think, you know, hey, this is good stuff. This is holy stuff. Because you know, believe it or not, folks in that religion actually believe that the Bible is inspired by God. Now, of course, they incorrectly believe that it's been corrupted, but they look at our scriptures and they're like, this is a very worthy thing to listen to. So this is a good tool for spreading the good news. In addition, believers will get it. They'll slip it in their phones, maybe in the rural areas where there's not a lot of wealth there. One out of every 5 or 10 people will have a cell phone, but the one that does can slip it in there, and they all gather around in secret church, where it's dangerous to be a believer. Imagine 5 or 7 folks huddled around a kitchen table listening to the gospel of Matthew in their own tribal language, perhaps for the first time in their lives. Biblically grounding these people in the scriptures that we hold so dear to and so flagrantly take for granted. Can go to the next slide now. Back one. Thanks. Let me get a drink of water here. So, I want to talk now about our most important journey into the unknown. I'll call it that. This is the most important way in which we enter the wilderness, enter the danger, and that is with embracing the inner life. That is with going within. And that is with entering the prayer closet. Because I just feel the heart of Jesus that it's like, I called you out into the wilderness because I wanted to be with you. And then you came out into the wilderness and then you just got so busy. And I'm preaching to myself, y'all. there is so much need over there. It is overwhelming. I mean, in the what I call the labor camps or the accommodations where these big corporations will house people in the big city in the Middle East where I am, not the country I've been talking about, but the Middle East, man, like, those, it's like modern-day slavery. It's like modern-day slavery, like I told you guys about last time. There's a city within a city, a 2-mile by 2-mile area square, that has 150,000 men crammed in it like sardines, working them to the bone, housed in these shabby accommodations, separated from their families. They need hope too. They need hope too. One of the most inspiring things was when I went, and I'm going to write about this next year, put out a book hopefully. What was in one of those camps, and through, actually I'd been trying to disciple a West African individual who's a believer, so we get in the South Asian cafe. So it's a white guy, a West African, in an Indian cafe. Just think about the cultural juxtaposition you got going on. We're meeting, reading the Bible. I was challenging him about sharing the word with other people. The restaurant owner actually notices. So when one of my other white friends comes back into that area, not a lot of white people go there, and he says, "Oh, you're a Christian, right?" If they ask you're a Christian, I actually always admit it. You got to say yes, you know, because they really don't have a problem with you being a Christian over there. They're just like, "Oh, okay. You believe differently." A lot of them even think that we worship the same God. It makes them nice, but on the other hand, it's not correct. But anyway, back to the story. So he says, "You're a Christian, right?" My team leader goes, "Yeah." And he says, "I've got a man for you to meet." And he introduces him to this Indian individual that's a believer. Takes him out back through this dirt alley into the desert area that's near those accommodations. When you got the freeway on one side, you got a cemetery on the other side, and you look off in the distance, and it's a dump, a trash mountain, a landfill. And out in that nowhereness, right, there were some believers that were meeting. And through the Indian individual, he met a Nepali house church that meets out there on mats. You got about 30 dudes that come out during the nighttime when it's cool enough to stand it. They sit on about 3 mats, 30 of them. They're singing hymns in their native language. You got 3 of them playing guitar, one of them which actually knows how to play, and you've got prayers constantly through the time that they're worshiping. It was one of the most touching moments, and I saw that there can be a house church planting movement within these workers' accommodations. And it's not me that makes it happen per se, but joining God where He's working, going where people have not gone before, daring to have the conversations that people would not have, taking the step of faith and praying those prayers, which you guys are linking arms with me in the Spirit and actually doing, and seeing God move in some of the hardest and darkest areas. But of course, that's not going to take place without prayer. I got a little bit off topic here. Sorry. Too many stories to tell. So I was talking about going on your knees to the Lord. Man, I love the secret place. And I'm so grateful that I was a part of a church for so many years here that believed that it's not so much religion as relationship. One that taught me to fall in love with the task of keeping the fire alive. And now I get to do that on a weekly basis overseas. Now, with our team, the first thing that we plan every single week is prayer. So we're blocking aside half of our working hours for prayer, which seems very counterintuitive. Even workers with other organizations similar to mine will say, "At first, I thought what y'all are doing was crazy. You're wasting your time. You could be doing so much more discipleship, church planning, if you weren't wasting all that time praying." But I'm like, listen, for my own heart's sake, I can't not flop down in the secret place on a consistent basis. So the pictures you can see up there are when we have gathered believers in our prayer community. And in that, we're getting people together from nations all over the world. Since it's a multinational city, we're praying with Indian pastors sharing needs about people groups in their country. We're gathering with East and West African believers. We're gathering with heavy hitter Filipino prayer warrior women that bring it when it comes to the place of prayer. I tell you, they're about 5 feet tall and they prove that big things can come in small packages. We're singing along with a worship leader from Bhutan who has such an anointing in her little 5 foot frame that whenever she sings, it seems like people just get up and start dancing, even if it's literally just her up there on the stage. I don't understand it. So we're gathering a multinational community of believers that has nothing in common except the belief that history belongs to those who pray. And a love, an infatuation with the presence of God. And that is our prayer community that we are fostering in the city over there. You can go to the next one and play the video if you don't mind. What this is our new venue. So for the first time, I've been over there since January 2017. For the first time, we're actually going to have our own venue. We're going to get to renovate it the way in which we want. We're going to be able to have a briefing room which can coordinate the quality of our worship, where we can, a facility that we can use for getting out the message of prayer, of intimacy with God, these biblical doctrines that we take so for granted, but folks over there, it is a massive paradigm shift to think that we're actually taking responsibility for a city in and through our prayers. Come on, somebody. That we are taking the apostolic destiny, stepping forward and say, listen, I don't have a title next to my name. I haven't been to a seminary, but I believe that history belongs to those who pray. And the prayers can shift the city, and I believe we in this team are going to shape culture in that city over there, and it will never be the same. And it's a big deal, because this city has the world's busiest international airport. More international flights come in and out of that city than any other city currently in the world. It is the world's third largest re-exporting center. It's a place that has people from every nation represented, and I believe in cities, culture comes and culture goes, and culture spreads. And if we can impact this city in the place of prayer, and I believe that new venue is going to be a valuable tool in allowing us to do that. Other ministries and believers have come alongside us, and we're nearly funded with that one. Then we can use that to be a hub of transformation. Lastly, though, I just want to make the invitation. Are you being faithful to the Lord in the secret place? Are you really a heavyweight when it comes to prayer? Do you go into your prayer closet and spend that time with Jesus? And when you do that, are you exploring inwardly? If you want a faith that explores, you can't have a vivid and fiery personal prayer time with Jesus and not have a faith that explores. Because you're exploring the depths of the knowledge of God. And through that, you are exploring in the nations alongside me. And I pray for you guys. Should pray more, but I'll keep you on my prayer list. I invite you to continue to pray for me. Partner with me in praying for those needs. I'm also, by the grace of God, getting to put out a book. And yes, this is a shameless plug for it, but the people that, you know, are giving regular to me, I'm going to give you a copy because I feel like it's something that I wrote with my team in mind, with you guys, with those that have been in my corner, because I'm like, okay, what can I invest in y'all? What can I best impart to you that would be of value? And I really believe it is the way in which my personal prayer life has been transformed over the past several years by praying the apostolic prayers. These are the prayers in the New Testament from Paul, from Jesus, from his 12 disciples. And I believe this has shifted even the way that I pray for this service today. I was reading a news article this morning, just on my phone, on 538, it's a statistical website. And it said in this news article, millennials are leaving the church and not coming back. And that's the trend that has been shown in this generation. And you guys have felt it very personally over these past several years, that this generation is leaving the church and not coming back. And I'm thinking, okay, so what can we as the church do? I believe that God is engineering a shift in the way that we pray that is more centered around what's on His mind, not what is such on our mind, right? And in that shift, we're putting importance on the most important thing. A.W. Tozer said that the most important thing a Christian can do is think rightly about God. A right view of God will be a remedy to 10,000 smaller concerns. And our prayers have to shift to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of glory would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I know I'm getting kind of spiritual here, but please don't leave me, guys. With that we pray over people, Colossians 1, 9, that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that your children would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, faithful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, it sounds like I'm praying a prayer that I came up with. It's actually just Colossians 1, 9. You go read it and then pray it over yourself, over your church community, and your children. If we can follow God in the shift of the way that we pray, deeper, exploring deeper in our prayers into the knowledge of God, praying for deeper understanding of Him, relationship with Him, the revelation of Christ, and to understand what does that revelation mean, and how does my life fit into His big kingdom purpose, it'll shift everything as we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Philippians chapter 1. Paul is praying that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Listen, we can pray for love as an emotion. But what we need is a love that's grounded in understanding. A love that's increasing in knowledge and depth of insight. Because a love that's based on the knowledge of God is a love that's not going to wane and wax when we're afraid. When we feel like we lose our compassion. When we get rejected. When we see those faces of foreigners and we don't understand them, and that maybe they're here to hurt us, we don't know. A love that is increasing in depth of insight into the nature of God is going to stick like a rock. It's going to be unmovable. And that's why we got to transform our prayer life. And that's why I recently written a book called Your Will Be Done. And I'm going to make that available to you guys later. I'm not doing it like to pitch or to make money. What I really want is for people to pray biblically grounded prayers, and for us to go to the next level, to take the next step into the unknown in terms of our prayer lives, and to go to something that's deeper, that's more biblical. Because in this generation, when more people are leaving the church than ever, we're not going to be able to survive as a church family unless we're reaching backward to something that is as close to the original as we can get. We got to get back to the book of Acts. We got to get back to the original disciples of Jesus. And we got to pray like they prayed, and we got to have what's on God's mind. And that's how the church can go forward in the 21st century, which I have mad passion for. I want to see us move forward. But in order to move forward, we got to reach back a little bit. And we got to grab hold of these biblical prayers. And we got to really pray for the revelation of Christ, for other people to have the light bulb come on in their minds as well. We got to walk in that revelation. So at this time, I wanted to open up and see if there might be any questions or two. I know this is a little bit informal, but again, my background is a classroom teacher, so if it's not interactive, I'm not feeling like anything good's really happening. So does anyone have any questions about ministry and what we've been doing? It looks different for every person in the way that they meet people, and especially for women in the Middle Eastern culture. It's so important that we have women on our team, and the way that they network through the coffee shops, in the malls, the marketplaces, the metros, and we go out and we meet people. I've met people. I prayed for, you know, a guy with a neck brace in a restaurant. One of my best friends currently, I met on the metro as he was looking at photos on his phone, and we connected because we both have an interest in photography, right? I've met with people in the mall, the glitziest, biggest mall. I met with people in the labor camps, and that's what we devote. Like, you know, that's where we devote our energies. It's like, of course, to the prayer, and then it's going out into the highways and the byways. Love getting my feet dirty in the labor camps too, and just meet new people and see what God does. It's called fishing for a reason, guys. It's called fishing for a reason. Sometimes you don't catch anything. Sometimes you cast your bait, you get a little nibble, and then not so much. And then sometimes you really hook something, and you really advance someone. Progress may look different for everybody. Maybe it's just from a negative 5 to a negative 3, and then someone else will take them from negative 3 to negative 2, and then the third person will come on, and then those are the ones that leads them to Christ. But you just got to advance the runner. It may be a sack fly, but you got to advance the runner. Does that answer your question? We going out? Yeah. Evangelism is a priority, and I love it, you know. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes transforming a life is as simple as this. It's knocking on a door, meeting a neighbor, saying hello to someone that's sitting next to you at the concert, the restaurant, the ballpark, that you wouldn't normally do that. And then we answer the question every day in our prayer life, in our practical life, are you going to be changed by the culture, or are you going to change culture? Are you going to have the culture shift you, or are you going to go in and shift culture with the beauty of Jesus? And I think this house carries a strong mantle for that, as you verbalize quite a bit. Don't want to hold you guys for too long. Any last questions before we finish? All right. Well, I'll go ahead and pray us out. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to fellowship together with family. Thank you that you've formed a great family of love here. And I pray that, like it says in Philippians 1, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit continue to knit us together, even though we're separated by thousands of miles. May your Spirit be at work. May you continue to lead these willing outcasts, renegades. I pray that you would lead them into the wilderness of faith, God, and that through that, we would see true transformation in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, I would love to connect with you guys. Feel free, anyone, come and talk to me afterwards. Love to keep up to date in terms of email updates. Send out newsletters from time to time, once every couple of months. And then in addition to that, just if you want to chat and encourage sometime, love to meet up with you, go out, grab a meal. I'll go ahead and hand it back over. We'll be finished.
Let's all stand to our feet. If I think that as we as we travel across the world, we run into people, and people want to do good. People want to help, and they want to change lives. They just don't know where to do that at. And so if you're looking for another avenue to release good into the world, to help facilitate change in the world through Grant and their ministries that he's connected with and affiliated with, is a good way. I believe that the part of your tithes, church tithes, go to support Grant every month, and I know several of you do as individuals, but you know, if you're saying, man, I want to do more and I want to give more, this is a good resource to put it into, as is Jeff Vaughn in the Philippines, and Marty and Krista in Honduras, and you know, and many of the others that we support. So I just want to encourage you to have faith that explores and goes beyond in your giving, besides just the tithe. And a lot of times it's a stretch for people to even come into a place of tithe, but I want to challenge you to go beyond that. Go beyond that in the giving of your lifestyle. The Lord says that the word says that the Lord loves a hilarious giver. And so, man, just this is another avenue. So if you would like to help Grant with a one-time donation, is great. He will definitely take that. And if you want to begin to partner with him, then that would be awesome as well. So if you need the info on that, you can see Grant today, or you can connect with me or Ariel later on, and we can get you pointed in the right direction on that as well. Okay,
so amen. The latter is what we really need right now, the little bit monthly.
Right. Okay. All right. Just the little bit of monthly support. If God stirred in you and you said, man, I want to do something to help these guys in Pakistan. Because Pakistan is a huge launching pad for Afghanistan. And so if you want to come in and say, man, and that pricked you, that stirred me. And if you want to come in and say, man, here, I want to sow this and earmark it and say, use this for the conferences that you guys are going to be doing over there, Grant, he'll take that as well, okay? So, you know, just however the Lord leads you. But be active in your faith. I hope you guys have an amazing yes. Yes. That's right, because they won't be back in the house. Because they're leaving here in a couple of weeks. So, Heather, come on up.
I'll never turn down some prayer.
Y'all know how we do things here, man. Y'all just come on down, guys. Amen. Everybody come on in. Lay hands on somebody that's in front of you. Mm. Father, we come to you today, and we, Lord, we're so thankful, so grateful for what you've done in us and touching us and redeeming us. And, Lord, I pray that as you launch us forth, and Holy Spirit, you do the work in saving us to something, and in transforming us. And Lord, bringing us to a place of being true image bearers of Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for that, and we're excited about that. And Lord, I'm thankful for that in Grant and Heather's life. And Lord, I pray for them right now as they're about to embark again on another trip to the Middle East. And Lord, I pray that you would so fill them with your light, with your light, the light from your presence, that it would be impossible for the culture not to see you through them and in them. And, Lord, I pray that you would so fill them with your love, that they release and they exude your love, your mercy, your grace. I pray that they would just have the proper perspective and rightly see the world that you've planted them in this season of their lives. And, Lord, I just I pray blessings over them. I pray provision over them. I pray protection over them. And Lord, but most importantly, God, I pray that they would just flourish in a way that it releases the river of life into this city and into these nations that they're going to be in. And Lord, we just speak over these nations in the Middle East, and we speak over the cultures that are represented there, not just Lord, not just the immediate ones, but the Nepal and the India and all of these places, Father. I'm encouraged by these house churches, God, that meet out in the Middle East, and they're from Nepal and these different places, and I pray blessings over them. And I pray, Father, that you would just stoke the fires within them so that they would just press in for more of you and for more of kingdom purpose in their life. And I pray that Grant and Heather would help facilitate that in these believers that are there. Use them to undergird the culture that you're establishing in these people, a culture of faith. And Lord, we just pray for that as well. And Lord, I pray that that they would be full and they would be content while they were over there. That you would be their meat, that you would be their satisfaction, you would be their peace in this time, Father. And just direct them in everything they do. And I pray that their heart would be just, God, whatever's in your heart, do it. And we say yes to that. And they would follow you in complete obedience, but in complete trust as well. And Lord, we just we love them and we thank you for them. And thank you for their hearts of service. And I just pray and declare your blessings over them, Father, in everything they do. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Come on. All right. Wednesday night, guys, we're having our Christmas dinner here. Does everybody remember that? Let's just come in, enjoy a time of fellowship, minister to the Blake house. Hey, guys, one more thing before everybody checks out on me on what I'm saying. We want to move the chairs and move some tables in.